Oh, do I just love that song.
I was doing a little dancey dance.
It's been a while since we've danced that song.
Oh, I was doing a little snake dance. You just didn't notice.
It takes me back to the earlier days of this podcast when things were so simple, where we were asking questions like, what is a play party?
Yeah, you know? What is a play party?
Who are we?
Who? Oh my gosh.
What's Fet Life?
Dramatic readings.
And one of my favorite. What's a negotiation?
Oh, the best. That was a great episode. I almost feel like we should do more of that.
We should do more of
that. Before we do that, though, who are we?
That's a good question.
Wasn't that one of our podcast episodes?
And what podcast is this?
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, my name should be Denzel Darko.
Yeah. I think you're right.
I think that's it. What about your name? Do you remember?
Well, my name is Mango Sorbet.
Oh, okay, okay. And yeah, I think there's one more voice.
Who else is here?
Oh, sorry. I'm Warm Orange. Sorry, my device was doing a thing. I'm Warm Orange.
That's Warm Orange. That should be your full name. Is I'm Warm Orange. Sorry, my device is doing a thing. I'm Warm Orange. That should just be your name. Like,
I should change my fat name to that. Yeah.
Like Fred Burger from the Grim Adventures.
And what podcast are we
on? We are on Taking in the Scene.
Boom. Woo.
Yes, we are here. Third season. We are spinning the block on y'all this time around. And if you are not hip to what that term means, it means we are coming back to readdress and dive further into a topic that we touched on in our first season, like early on.
Yeah.
And that was the topic of negotiation.
I'm so passionate about negotiation. I'm so glad we're doing the second go at this.
Yep. And this was also something that we had requests from listeners as well. So for us to be able to, this is proof that we listen to our listeners, because here we are doing it again.
And on that note, listeners, if you have requests, we are very reachable.
Yep.
So please
hit us up.
So I was catastrophizing that statement when you said this is proof. I thought you were going to say, this is proof we have listeners. I was like, oh. I feel the same.
We do have listeners.
We got listeners. Yeah.
We got listeners in different area codes.
I've got
listeners.
Okay.
Different area codes.
Oh, we get a copyright strike. All right. Okay.
I didn't sing enough of it. It's fine.
So as we... In the same vein of the last episode, we're going to have a little bit of a mock-up negotiation scene. I think, though, like in our previous episode, it was really a brief introduction to what a negotiation is, why it's important, and mainly the structure of it. Like, what are the things that you need to hit in the conversation?
Mm-hmm.
When does it happen? Mm-hmm. When is it a good time to happen? And, you know, those kind of things. This time around, we're getting into the meat.
Yes.
Yeah. You hear that? That squelching? Yeah, we're in there.
Why does it have to squelch?
It sounds so bad.
Squelching is just a word that gets...
side product of negotiating, I guess.
Oh my God. Wow, your negotiation was that good? No,
I'm sorry.
We started squelching.
And in our last episode, I believe we also did a mock negotiating between you and me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're doing that again. Is that right?
I think that's it.
Is this a continuation of that one? Or
Good question.
Let's set the scene. How about this? Okay. So I think the previous one, I listened to the episode a little bit today. It was about me wanting to get written, and I was a little bit in a degradation and humiliation. Mm-hmm. So that was where baby Denzel started in his kink journey.
And to be clear, in that negotiation, we were like successful. We both wanted the thing.
Right.
We agreed, you know, we were both on the same page, and we got to an understanding.
Uh-huh. And, you know, also like there was points that I hadn't considered that you brought in. And that's something we'll talk about as we talk about like coercion and enthusiasm as well, as like at what point does adding something in become coercion,
right?
But I think, yeah, like you said, we ended up doing that humiliation degradation scene, and now we are back. Let's say 8 months later. 8 months later.
And in this negotiation scene, we're sort of diving in like sort of midway through the scene.
Right. Like we've established the beginning nature of like we are consenting to this. Mm-hmm. We are good to go. We've we've done the initial part,
right,
are also understanding for this, you know, this context is that right. you know that we've played together in the past. Mm-hmm. So well, there is a successful rep of it.
And the play has been like impact play writing stuff?
Yeah, it's been okay. Mostly just like writing, yeah, I'd say a little bit of impact, but yeah. Now
we're doing something new.
Now it's time for us to put on our character hats.
Okay.
You're not seeing this,
listeners.
You can't
see it, but I'm putting on a hat.
But I'm putting on something.
And go.
Wow. Okay, so what I'm thinking, like,
tell me what you're
for this scene mm-hmm. is, all right, like, St. Andrew's Cross, mm, right? Like,
love that.
Instead of me being tied with my back on the cross, mm-hmm. I want to be tied with my back to the cross. So
I love that.
I want us to be able to face each other, mm-hmm. have a little bit more of that like personal connection. I'm thinking, you know, as you have written different things on me, mm-hmm. like I want to be called like cum bucket, mm, and
love a cum bucket.
Yeah, like you wet clam, mm, and soggy dog. Yeah.
Love that. We can definitely do that.
And then after that, I'm thinking, you know, I've been
for this part. Do you want to be able to speak? Do you want to be gagged? Not gagged? Blindfolded? Not blindfolded? How much do you want your senses?
Let me see. Ooh,
scared.
I would be open to being blindfolded.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. You could leave one on the side, and I think I can decide like day of, moment okay. of, like how I'm feeling. But like, yeah, you let's just have it there.
Soft limit for
yeah,
now.
This is a softy, okay, but like let it be there. And okay, if I'm feeling good, we can lean into
that.
It. Yes.
Very cool.
I would not like to be gagged though. Okay. I want us to be able to engage and use my words. Mm-hmm. And then I've been playing with somebody else for a while, and one of the things that we've been diving further into is CBT. Do you know what that is?
I do know what CBT is, although for our listeners, it is not cognitive behavioral therapy.
I mean, technically it is, but that's
it
not
is.
What we're talking
we're
about
not,
now.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like what you're saying is you've engaged with in cognitive behavioral therapy with your other partner. Or maybe
anyway,
you have, but
maybe
that's another. Well,
if you have.
So since we have a break, I was going to say it's cock and ball torture. Yes. It's a type of heavily.
Yeah, we were getting to that.
Oh, okay. Well,
the voice of God has spoken.
Oh, my God. Who was that?
Holy shit.
Oh, I'm in the middle of my scene and someone's just talking to me out of the sky. I'm so confused.
Because you guys did an interlude. I was like, oh, I can jump.
Did this orange just talk to us on the table?
That orange should not be speaking. Those drugs we did earlier that we shouldn't be doing while negotiating are really kicking in.
Whoa. All right, back to this. So,
voice
yes,
of God out.
I have been getting into CBT in some other play, and I'm eager to do that with you because we've got a history of humiliation and degradation.
Okay.
I think personally we would be able to, you know, have some good times with
well,
that.
Well, I've definitely done a lot of impact in the past. CBT is, you know, I've done some, I would say, light CBT. You'll have to tell me specifically when it comes to CBT, like, what are you interested in happening to your cock and balls in terms of this cock and ball torture?
You know, I want the humiliation. Mm. So I want to feel like, you know, the cock that I've got is not a cock at all.
Okay.
And the way that I want that to be done is through like,
so some psychological play involved.
Some psychological,
in this?
Okay. But I also want like to, it's to, you know, to slap
some
me, spank me, okay, you know, cup my balls, mm-hmm, and really like when you're there, just telling me that,
let this, you know who's in charge.
Yeah. And this isn't really
can
like
do,
this,
yeah,
this is nothing. Like, yeah, these aren't balls. What are these? Like,
I'm
mustard
really into
seeds.
That.
Yeah.
Mustard seeds.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
That's so cute.
But what I've also want, I think, mm-hmm, as well, which I think is pretty hot, is, mm-hmm, I'm thinking after you've, you know, told me these, you know, hurtful things, mm-hmm, that you in turn like praise me, and I'm thinking the way that I could be praised is by like, maybe you could just like lick my tip a couple times, you know, just like a little bit of mouth play would be really nice to balance out that humiliation.
I really validate that desire. I think you know, like I'm sort of at a place right now where in my play I'm not involving like oral penetration. It's, you know, not just a sexual safety thing for me. It's more of like a, I'm sort of taking a break from, involving, like a fluid exchange in my kink play. Is there like possibly something else you'd be interested in, like receiving that kind of, praise around, or is that like something you're really interested in?
I'd say it's pretty high on my interest list. Given that, you know, when I'm doing CBT, I feel that I'm extremely vulnerable I'm getting crumbled down for me like that.
Be built back up.
That, yeah, through a form of sexual gratification. And sure, I've had, you know, hand jobs and stuff like that, but I'm personally me, there's something about the oral aspect that really drives that home. So, yeah, I think that is something that I am looking for if we're going to dive further into CBT play.
Yeah, you know, like I hear that and I think that's so valid, especially because oral is such an intimate, such a vulnerable activity, and I would like really want you to feel safe after we did something so, like so vulnerable. I wonder though, I might not be the right person for this activity in particular. I mean, another option would be for us to do a different scene, or for us to just like, you know, be friends, go get a meal together. I'm still really interested in like play, but I don't know if like this particular scene is the right one for us.
I see where you're coming from. Yeah, I agree. Like if you are kind of like on the fence about wanting to do it, I don't want to, you know, put you in a position where you feel that you have to do
it. And I don't want to take that from you. Like I wouldn't want you to like feel like you couldn't have something you wanted.
Because I definitely want that.
Right.
I definitely want it. But if...
Like we both want the other to be really happy.
Yeah. So, you know, that is a good point. Maybe we do just stick for now at the range of just the humiliation, the degradation. Totally. Maybe we just leave some genitalia out of this, you know, and who knows what might come along, who knows, maybe. But I think, yeah, like for the sake of for now, if you want to just keep kicking it as we've been and keep doing that, then I'd be down for that.
Awesome. You want to go grab a milkshake?
Oh my God. As long as it's thick and creamy. Yeah. Oh.
End scene.
I have a question for y'all too.
What's the question?
Because like I got a little worried because I feel like this happens a lot. But like there's sometimes a jump from we can't do this scene and then we're jumping into. I mean, I know we're going to talk about this a lot more, but we can't do a scene, so we can't be friends. Can we just be friends? Was that part intentionally thrown in there, or was it kind of just like a natural reaction?
Well, okay. As that was happening, I wanted to be clear. Like negotiations, in my experience, are a lot longer than what Denzel and I just did. So like. Part of the reason I was just like, no to this scene, let's be friends, is sort of because I was like truncating the process of like moving from like, I want to do this scene to like, this scene might not be right for the two of us.
I
think the important, for me, the important part of that scene was like validating someone's desires, not shaming them for what they want, but also being clear with what I'm willing to give, what my boundaries are, what I'm able to provide in a way that like honors my values and my needs.
Right. It's also mutually like respectful.
Respectful. Yeah. Like obviously this was a very truncated scene, but what was important to me was that Denzel felt that anything he was asking for wasn't like out of the realm of possibility. It just wasn't something I'm able to give at this time.
Right. And the final question I asked for Denzel before I like let everything go as it is, you know, because I'll just observe. I wrote some notes. So for Denzel, I was gonna ask for you, like the part where you said, hey, the aura really drives it home for me. Do you find it, or in that example, were you playing the part of, if it's not oral, I can't do it? Because I was gonna make the argument that maybe somebody say, hey, I can use a toy, or I can use a fleshlight on you or something instead. But for you, I'm assuming you were going for the stance of it has to be the mouth.
Yeah, I think in that particular example. Yeah.
Again, this is.
I mean, it's very,
yeah,
very
full hypothetical, but
yeah, very hypothetical.
So I would say my persona in this moment would be saying like, I want to connect with the person who I'm doing this with. And I would have been able to like articulate that more fully if we had more time to say like, I want to connect with you on this level. So it's like, you know, that could also be like the ways of having like a negotiation of like sex. Yeah.
Right.
If we've never incorporated that into it. And then now it's like, okay, well, for me, sure, a fleshlight is a good thing. Right. You like technically you can get me to the pleasure state that I can get through with toys, hands,
and that is something we could have talked about.
Well,
but it would have just been a longer conversation.
Yeah, it's a shorter conversation, but also just like on the same note, I was going to throw the thing. It's like that also helps emphasize a point that when you're negotiating, it's not always like I'm trying to get my rocks off. Sometimes like, no, I actually genuinely want to connect with this person.
Right.
I do kink to connect with people, stuff like that. So I feel like that's a
fantastic example.
And that's. For Denzel's part, I think the part he played, what was important was that Denzel knew himself.
Yeah, like I'm saying, like, hey, look, you're about to, I'm letting you degrade me, calling my dick like mustard seed size, and I'm looking to have that relationship built back up. And like, I think that was, you know, the thing that's underlying is like, if I can't have that, that is a key component of you, like, I don't want you to degrade me if you can't also build me back up, like you said, I think.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, that's why it's so important to know yourself when you enter into negotiation. Mm-hmm. And by the way, like, the reason we did this for our listeners is because this scene this way is because we wanted to demonstrate that, like, negotiations sometimes don't go the way you want them to go.
They don't always lead to play.
Right.
Yeah.
And or they lead to like a different type of play or going to get milkshakes. Like they part of the reason you enter into a negotiation is not because you want to give the other person everything they want. Mm-hmm. It's because you both want to get a mutually like beneficial like situation going.
Mm-hmm.
So going into a negotiation, knowing what your hard and soft limits are, hence the like blindfold.
That was a fantastic. I don't know if they are playing that, but I was I like that. It's like blindfold. Yes, I don't want to be like silent. I don't want like.
Yeah,
know,
I mean,
like, I love that.
But this is an example of like Denzel me asking because this is something I might want to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Denzel saying like actually like for this scene, soft and hard limits do come into play around that.
Mm-hmm. Also, daily it can change because Denzel said the day
Like, yeah, yeah. And that's some people are like, oh, I need to know now. And other people are like, I'm more flexible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I'll decide in the moment.
Right. Uh-huh. And that's okay too. Like, as long as you know the person, you know what, you know, no big surprises.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like at the end of the day, what is a negotiation? It's an exchange of information.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And information that is designated that is leading to some sort of, follow-up action.
Exactly.
Whether, like you said, like the outcome of negotiation is determined by the information that is shared in a negotiation.
Yeah. Garbage
in,
garbage out.
To be clear.
It's true.
To be clear, like, it's not like Denzel and I are saying that a negotiation is purely, like, emotion-free. Like, obviously, can... I'm sure even in that scene, like, it was a bit vulnerable for Denzel to say, like, I want... you know, like this type of sexual touch and me to say like, I can't do that for you in the real world, that would actually be like potentially really scary for both of us to be at this precipice of like, I won't give, what do we do now? Mm-hmm. Like we're both human beings who care about each other. You know, like just grounding the reality that negotiation comes with hope and desire and expectations.
And on the flip side of that, you've got, you know, in this example, it's a refusal of play.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a difference between rejection and refusal when it comes into negotiations. Shout out to that phrase, rejection or refusal.
Yeah.
Because you weren't rejecting me.
Right.
When you said I can't do the
no, I act wasn't even with you. Rejecting your desire.
Like, right. You're refusing to follow through. And a refusal is somebody saying, no, something that I want to do, whereas a rejection is more of like, I wouldn't want to do that for you or with you. So
or even like, ew, why would you want that?
Yeah. So in yeah, it's important when negotiations aren't always, you know, in the playful outcome that you expected, that you view like, is this a refusal or is this a rejection? And more often it's a refusal. Now I'm not saying that a rejection might not be in there, but
it can feel like that to some people.
It sure can feel like it, especially, you know, like you said, it's a vulnerable experience.
Can I give an example of this happening to me recently?
I was going to add one more note to the rejection versus refusal.
Go for it.
Yeah. The rejection versus refusal. I was going to say, that's also like, there's a certain thing about responses to that, because some people, they'll get a refusal, but they'll take a rejection and they'll kind of blow it up to this big thing.
Yeah, which, getting defensive, I would not recommend doing that in a negotiation.
Because that is a flag.
Yeah.
Don't take it personally. It's a red
flag. Don't take it personally. Okay, so here's my example from recently. I started talking to this very sweet, wonderful guy. I expressed, before we even really hung out or before we even talked about negotiations, I let him know some of my like sexual health risk tolerances. So I sent him that 11 point safe sex framework that we
shout
went
out to
over
season one again.
Because he was curious about seeing it, and because it's the questions I was going to ask anyway.
Right.
And he let me know like, oh yeah, I'm fluid bonded with more than one partner, and one of my partners is also fluid bonded with more than one partner. That is not in and of itself a bad thing. I want to make clear to our listeners, whatever you choose.
What are you saying, fluid bonded?
Just fluid bonded means sharing typically genital to genital fluids or oral to genital fluids.
Did you also know that protection? Saliva is considered fluid in fluid bonding?
Yeah.
So
and that's
if
why
you
I say
are
oral,
making out with people.
I mean, it's there are, this is where risk tolerance comes in, because I am generally risk tolerant enough that I will accept kissing sort of with less quote unquote scrutiny. Whereas if I'm going to have genitals,
it's more
contacting my genitals or my asshole or my mouth, I have more questions.
Well, but also establishing those boundaries. And this is the real example. So, you know, there's more to it, of course, but establishing those boundaries is a part of the negotiation.
Right. So yes, that's true. So I told him, like, when he told me this, I was like, that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. You know, like my risk tolerance is comparatively to most people quite low. So like I want to still engage in kink with you. I still want to like get to know you.
Right.
We aren't going to have PIV or PIA sex, which is penis in vagina or penis in asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think he thought about it for a few days, and he was like, I think I want to be friends. I don't think I want to involve any kink in our relationship, because PIA and PIV are so important to me. And I was like, that's fine. Go off, set a boundary. That's fine. And also, friendship is not a consolation prize to getting kink. I love friends.
Right.
And also something he said was like, I'm really disappointed. And I was like, I'm also disappointed. You know, like I just because I am disappointed doesn't mean I'm gonna release my risk tolerance level. And by the way, again, it's not a problem that people's risk tolerance is different from mine. This is not a judgment.
You're right.
This is just, you know, where I stood, and he let me know where he stood. Yeah. And you know, it doesn't always go the way you want it to go.
Well, in a negotiation, like I think from season one, too, negotiation is a synchronization of expectations.
Yes.
So your expectation is this. His expectation, or your partner, the person you're talking about, their expectation is that PIV, PIA to some point. Mm-hmm. And when you mention that statement, it's like, okay, expectations don't match. I need to disengage.
Right.
And, you know, one can make an argument. One can make an argument that maybe the position some of the parts are coming from may have been more of a, well, if I can't have this, I can't have nothing.
Yeah, I mean, but that's, this is a longer conversation. I thought this was like, you know, like, what a shame that we can't have any king.
Right.
Because this isn't involved. But also, like, it's not my place to be like, you should do kink regardless. Like,
because I mean,
it's his business.
If it's a personal boundary, it is just a personal boundary.
Exactly. Like, and like, again, friendship is not a consolation prize. I love having friends. So,
and what I'll say though is also like, if we're okay to use this as an example, is that this individual, you know, was absolutely fine with the answer.
Yeah.
That
was ultimately given.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah, he didn't pressure me.
Which is something that can occur in negotiations.
Yeah.
Whether you're talking about play, whether you're talking about sex, any form of negotiation, there's a big C word.
What's the C word?
Cunt.
Yeah, I was supposed to say cunt.
Oh.
The cunt is always there.
I was setting you up
just kidding,
for
y'all.
A dunk there.
Just joking, April Fools.
April Fools in whatever month this is.
Yeah, you don't know what month this is. The big C word that I'm actually talking about is coercion.
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 Okay.
Coercion.
Yeah. Wait, is it coercion?
Coercion? Coercion is what you call a group of.
I say coercion, but it doesn't actually matter.
Okay. But so what is the concept? Are you talking about like coercion versus, I guess, the enthusiastic consent that we usually want?
The practice of persuading somebody to do something by use of force or threats. Is the dictionary.
I don't even know if
what
I would
did
go
I just
that
say?
The dictionary.
Oh my gosh.
But you know, like I wouldn't even go that far because sometimes coercion is just putting like too much pressure on someone after they've given you a no.
Yeah.
Like coercion to me doesn't need a threat for it to be, for me to consider it coercion. If I've said no and you keep being like, come on, like,
that's
you
coercion,
know you want to, like, oh, it'd be so fun. Like, come on, just do it. Just do it. I'm like, that to me is also coercion.
Well, and like for all those people might say, well, no, that's not coercion. So I would like to emphasize that as a person who is a penis wielder in the world, I have had situations to where I'm with partners. They said, I don't want to do this. It's like, yeah, but you know, wouldn't it be fun? So I've been on that side of the coercive side. The thing is, like, a lot of people who get defensive that I find, and I found this because when you're saying, I was like, that's not it. Wait. It's because I've done it before and I don't want to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
But it's true that you can sometimes be the bad guy if you've done the thing. The thing is not, doing the bad thing is an important thing to keep in mind. But now that you know that you've done a bad thing, are you doing better?
Yeah. And also, like,
yeah,
you know, like in established relationships, sometimes like wanting to seduce your partner is different from a new relationship where you're like, putting pressure on a new person whose limits you don't know.
And that pressure
or boundaries you don't know.
Significantly more powerful than people think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also there are power dynamics, like Orange was saying, especially if you're have the benefit of the patriarchy on your side.
It is interesting because also when I think about like the way that a traditional American cis man is raised into the world, like the idea of no foreign answer is kind of like this.
It's foreign.
Oh, it's it feels like a rejection of, you know, your desires as opposed to a refusal. And then you're almost conditioned in ways to like, how can you manipulate that no into a yes? How can I still get it? And, you know, I'm looking up the things here and the things are saying that like, it's difficult to identify.
Yeah.
Like there's a line between that coercion and seduction. There's like it's something that, especially if you're younger or something, you might have teetered and crossed. And it's like, again, when somebody has addressed and said like, hey, look, I'm feeling like you're pressuring me.
Yeah.
When you hear that, like what happens?
What do you
then?
Do that?
What do you do
reaction,
then?
How do you react
when the behavior has been identified?
Yeah.
Do you still do it?
And by the way, for those who are entering into negotiations, if you feel like you're receiving pressure, like unfortunately, it is important to be prepared to advocate for yourself and say like, I'm experiencing a lot of pressure right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what you intend to do, but like, I've expressed a no.
Mm-hmm.
I've expressed a hard limit. Can we move on?
Mm-hmm.
If we can't move on, then it might be important to end negotiations with that person.
No, and those power dynamics can be very blurry because sometimes you might say, oh, this famous rope person wants to do a rope thing with me. It's like, yes, that famous rope person wants to do a rope thing with you, but there's also, there can be, it's more often than not this situation, but there can be situations where somebody's like a super fan of somebody and they really, really, really want this person to do something
and
with
they'll
them.
They'll do anything.
And they're like, I'll do anything for you. I'll do this. It's like, okay, I don't want to scene with you. Like, yeah, please stop trying to pressure me into it.
That is a really good point, actually, because sometimes coercion is present, but sometimes the person who is, and in my mind, I'm thinking of coercion as from a top to a bottom, which I shouldn't actually be doing because that's that's not actually always how it plays out. But what you've, in my mind, just described is like people who are unsafe to play with because they say yes to everything are also like, you have to keep an eye out for those people when you're negotiating because it'll get to a point where you're like, it seems like you're okay. I'm suggesting things. You're saying yes to everything.
It's like, I said the wood chipper.
Or I might be uncomfortable like doing the action that you're asking me to do now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like just, these things are important to keep an eye on. Negotiation is also just a practice in knowing yourself and being ready to like give enthusiastic consent or set a boundary, set
and
a
be able to stick by it. I think the thing about coercion, at least some forms of it, and I'm speaking from just a general point of view, but I'm thinking like in a negotiated scene, if you can, you know, draw your line in the sand and stick by that defense. Fingers crossed, ideal scenario. I'm thinking very optimistically, but like that is enough to like be like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Like, and then again, the thing that also acknowledges is that once coercion is happening, like that is the flag.
Yeah.
The thing I want us always to remember is trust your gut, no matter what.
Yeah, and we've said that.
When you recognize the signs, believe the signs.
Yes. If you, especially in kink.
Especially in the negotiation. The negotiation is the perfect time to size up another individual and say, like, is this going to be safe, fun? Are you going to respect my boundaries? Because if you're already, like, willing to be like, nah, whatever. I think we talked about this in the first one, but like if somebody doesn't respect the things that are happening in the negotiation or they're
already, definitely not gonna respect you later.
Yeah, they're already pushing you in the conversation. Imagine what they'll do when you're in the position of vulnerability.
Well, go ahead.
I was gonna say, along those lines, if you're negotiating with someone and they're not even asking you questions, they're not, they don't even like have
concerns
prepared.
Right.
Like I've had people in negotiation ask me stuff that I was like, wow, I love that you asked that. Like they've asked, like, have you had any broken bones in the past? Like, are you able to bend your knees for a certain amount of time? Like these are great questions to ask. You don't have to ask everything, but if I'm in a negotiation with someone and they can't even come up with questions to ask me, that's also a flag.
Well, it's also
do all the work here.
I was gonna make the argument for signals too, green flags. Because one thing that can happen too is there can be such thing as too much information given. To be more specific example, there was a particular partner I had a while ago, and they were getting ready to do the oral thing. I was like, hey, let me explain some of the stuff because like you know just came from work and this, and she was like, okay, look. I understand. I want to do this, so let me do this thing. And then, like, you know, we kind of talk for like a second, and then we continue the sex stuff. But that was like a split moment of me like wanting to tell everything, and she's like, okay, I got it. I understand. I trust you. You show me enough green flags that we're good for this. So that goes a long way to say that that could.
It sounds
be a
like
thing.
You were telling her you had a stinky dick.
Well, I literally just came from work, and I don't want to offend her or anything.
But that's a very sweet thing for you to do.
Oh, fair. Okay.
You were telling her. You might want me to shower before you suck my stinky dick.
Right. Just came to work. To clarify, I came from work.
I think that's appropriate. I'm like, that's not too much information. I would like to know if I'm about to suck a stinky dick.
Just give me a heads up so I can know.
Yeah, a heads up.
One last thing I was going to mention too is like on the topic of coercion. I wrote notes. During the discussion, there was one part where it could have branched either way. Mango mentioned, hey, is there possibly something else we can do? And Denzel's like, well, it's pretty high on my list. And then Denzel kind of explained why it's high on his list. And then Denzel said, or really drives it home. And then Mango's response was, okay, maybe not me. there's a part to where Denzel could have doubled down on, well, but I wanted to be you. Right. And then if you could do this
I
for
mean,
me.
We both could have coerced. In yeah. this situation, yeah. I could have also been like, we're definitely doing this. Like, I want it. Yeah. The scene is still happening.
Oh, good point.
Let's think about something else we can do for you.
Because like, I still want
yeah,
this.
Like, I still want this. And I want that. And it could have been, by the way, with all the love in the world, because coercion isn't always obvious. I could have been like,
It's not an anger, maleficent behavior.
I might not even be aware that I'm doing it, but I could have said to Denzel, like, I really care about you. I really want this scene to progress. Like,
I want us to deepen our connection.
I want to deepen our connection. I want you to, like, I want us together to think of something else that we can do. I want this to continue. And, and like, I just think, like, either, you know, like you said, like, once you become aware that you're, you know, doing that kind of behavior, it's important to recognize that
it's happening. Yeah.
It's happening. You can course correct. Mm-hmm. You can even say to the person, like, I realized I was doing this, for whatever my good reasons were, it was not appropriate. And, I don't even know if I can say they were for good reasons because they were clearly coming from a place of selfishness, but I do care about you. And I now want you to know that.
Well, I was going to ask a question because I think, did we mention refusal versus rejection yet? Or?
Yeah, several times.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So I was going to ask Denzel, the refusal versus rejection, like, is there more to that from negotiation? Or is that just kind of like, it is what it is?
I mean, I feel like there could always be more, but I think, I think what it boils down to, like, you are refusing the act, maybe not the person.
I see. Okay.
But when we feel rejected, we feel as though somebody is rejecting our person and not the act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though in reality, it might just be a misinterpretation of, nah, really, I just don't want to put your dick in my mouth.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's not even you. It's just like, I just don't want your dick in my mouth after I've been like slapping on it.
Yeah. Or like, I'm not putting any dicks in my mouth right now. So like,
I'm only going to do it in a non-playing setting. Like if we were at a play party and I'm on the cross.
Yeah, like maybe I don't want to do it in front of people.
I'm asking. Yeah. So like, it's a refusal can either be a permanent no, or it can be a temporary no. Yeah.
Or
I think that agency belongs to the person who's saying the no, though, not the person who the no is being pulled to.
Exactly.
I would consider a coercion if I came up 3 months later and was like, hey, remember when we did that? let's revisit it. And I kept like breathing down your neck about every time us playing, and you still hadn't like given me the okay. Right. Like, hey, I'm maybe okay and open to negotiating us diving into the CBT now. You know?
And there is a difference between like if you came back to me 3 months later and said, if you said like, remember when you said no to this? Like, I really want to do this. That would be different from you saying, like, I'd love to revisit this, like, have your feelings change.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and that is what we call, this is a great segue.
Yes.
Dog, Denzel, how do you do this, man?
Okay. There you go.
That is called a renegotiation.
Renegotiation. Well, okay.
Go ahead, Orange.
You want to kick it off?
I don't want to ruin the transition.
It's okay. Everybody knows that transitions are more important than the songs.
That's true.
I'm
saying Beyonce's Renaissance album. Oh,
for
transitions?
Real. Seriously. Tyler, the Creator's Call Me When You Get Lost.
Okay.
And now we're definitely off.
we're a hip-hop podcast
we
now.
We transitioned.
Well, we did a music... Or we... have a music episode this season.
We're going to call it Taking in the Sheets because of the music.
That's funny.
Orange is already taking notes. Get it?
Yes.
We've gotten derailed on accident. The thing I was going to say was I add a real world example to the conditional consent because like I don't like doing sexual things specifically in public places. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's like, hey, let's do this rope scene and then I want you to fuck me afterwards, it's like, no, if it's in public. If it's in personal, like private time, sure. But like that's a conditional thing for me. It's like I don't like slinging my dick around in public is not my thing. Yeah. No offense to those who love doing that. I appreciate all y'all who do. Y'all look cool.
Dick slinger.
All right, but yes.
I'm just imagining Orange as a cowboy.
Why was I thinking it?
And he just whips out his dick like it's a pistol. And
meet
he's
me at sundown.
Yeah, this town ain't big enough for both our dicks.
Only one dick can be sheriff
I'm
here.
I'm slinging dicks.
Draw.
That's like the most American thing.
We've derailed, but we're getting back on the rail with renegotiation. And I think to kick off it, the approach to the renegotiation has to have a huge level of openness,
right?
And you really have to leave your expectations even farther beyond when you had the previous negotiation. Because if you're renegotiating, that means like you had a refusal in the past. So
or you want to add something, but
So you're coming to the table and saying like, hey, I know last time we had these results, I have taken some time or have done something different in this recent, in the gap of time. Mm-hmm. And now I am curious to see where you stand if I present this information to you.
I see.
Does this information potentially change? Or do you have new information for me that could also determine what kind of play we do? So I think it's valid to like open the door for renegotiations if previous negotiations ended on an amicable level.
Right.
Well, and amicable doesn't mean that we play together.
Right. I think what you said about leaving your expectations at the door is so, so important, because you, if you have an expectation going in, then a refusal might then feel like a rejection, because you're like, but I expected you to want it now.
It's six months have passed. Yeah, like it's been half a year.
I want it now.
Like you gotta be in a place to be able to do this. And again, when you have expectations, you start to lean conversations and statements into a direction which can further lead you into coercion. Yeah. Y'all, I watch 4 seasons of Succession. I know all about this coercion and negotiation. I don't know what they were saying in the show, but there was a lot of just like, there was a lot of like, let's talk, let's negotiate. You bring what you bring. Yeah. I'm bringing what I bring. It's time for, I think we should talk again.
I will say the difference between a business negotiation and a kink negotiation is that you're not trying to convince someone of what you want, that they should also want it.
Right. You're not trying to do your salesman pitch.
Right.
Or salesperson pitch.
You're coming to the table with what you got.
Right.
I
was going to throw an example for a common renegotiation.
A
renegotiation I've seen. I was gonna say common, but that's putting my understanding too high. Is basically a rope bottom not wanting to tie with a rope top until after they practice. If the rope top has practiced and had been working on stuff and gone to classes or something, then the rope bottom might say, "Oh yeah, sure, I'll tie with you now." Mm-hmm. But like, especially if a person's brand new, it's difficult out there sometimes. But you got to go practice. You got to understand that the dangers of tying with rope and all sorts of stuff. And people who bottom frequently that you might want to tie with, and this is for all the rope tops out there in the world, the aspiring rope tops in the world, they want you to be somewhat aware of their safety. They want you to advocate for them so that's like a situation where renegotiation could be possible without looking like coercive, because it's like you got some new experience, what's new?
And I think another template for renegotiation also, that's really good points, like you wanting this individual to like up their skills so you can feel more safe and more vulnerable and more open and more encouraged to practice your kink with that person. Yeah. I think another form of renegotiation that we could consider talking about is what happens if somebody gets hurt in a scene, and
that's a big one. Yes.
Like, let's say you do an impact scene and somebody like
bleeds and they don't want to bleed.
Yeah.
And they told you specifically, I don't want to bleed.
And
or marks.
And imagine this is like somebody you have been playing with for a while, and you two still value the idea of playing, but like, how do you two, after the incident occurred, talk about it to get back onto the playing if that is something that you both want? So that's another form of renegotiation.
Wait. So are you telling me that that's that talking about things after they happen as a part of negotiation, just like aftercare and all this stuff, like that there's more than just the initial conversation?
I mean,
it depends on how it goes, I'd say.
Yeah, like okay. You could get a follow up message. You could get an immediate like, mm-hmm. let's have the coming to Jesus meeting right now.
Yeah, I mean, the conversation could just be a conversation, but it could also, as Denzel said, be like, like let's come back to the drawing board. It feels like you hitting me with this implement is causing me to bleed, and you know I specifically didn't want bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe in the future we take this implement off the table, so to speak. And that's not a full quote unquote renegotiation. That's just like, I don't want to be hit with this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Establishing again, I don't want to bleed in a scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and hopefully the person who did the hitting is like, yeah, I respect your desire not to bleed.
But that's my favorite toy that I made.
And if someone says that's my favorite toy that I made, and you're like,
right,
but you just crossed a hard limit of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Then more negotiating or maybe even more quote unquote coming to Jesus moments need to happen.
And oh my gosh, this is so good.
Transition?
We're keep going with these transitions, yes. Y'all.
Well, I'm about to ruin it. No.
You know where
Don't
we're going.
Ruin it.
You know where we're going.
Where are we going?
We're going to disengagement.
Oh, disengage.
Yeah,
because again, these ideas and negotiations.
It's kind of like a kink breakup in a way.
It really is. Like, how do play partners who have recognized that our play styles are different or we're in different places, how do you two negotiate dissolving the play style or changing it for whatever case may be?
I had a friend recently say, like, I'm renegotiating. I'm, like, worried that we're going to end up removing this huge part of our dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like such a sad, it's so sad. I mean, like it's sad, but also like sometimes it is necessary to de-escalate.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you have to de-escalate to zero. You can de-escalate to like 50 or 25, but like.
I think if you have let's say a medical situation occurs.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Like if we're using rope as the example,
right?
Let's say you have a muscular injury or a neurological disease or something that has drastically changed the way that you and your body interacts.
Right.
You could have been like one of the best rope tops, but now if you've got like some sort of
rotator cuff injury,
then no longer can you do this whole rope experience. So you're gonna have to, and if your main, like if one of your play partners is like your rope bottom and it's like your everyday rope bottom, you're gonna have to negotiate like during this time period, what does play look like for us?
Yeah.
Right.
Does like, I can't tie you, so we're going to have to de-escalate this rope in our relationship, but we can always maybe renegotiate it if I'm better.
And no one's saying easy or simple.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I held up my hand just now because I currently, while we're recording this, I have a wrist injury.
Oh, and I got a dog bite on my thumb.
Man, our hands.
I'm telling you.
But like what that means... And it makes me really sad because there's parts of play I can't do right now. Mm-hmm. Like if I wanted to do a more like a scene involving tying my wrists, even I wouldn't feel safe doing that right now because of the state my wrist is in. And that means there's like several things off the table.
Mm-hmm.
I'm lucky in my relationship with my daddy that I can say, you know, it's not even entering to a quote unquote official negotiation. I can just say like my wrist is injured right now. Like I'm really sad, but these are the things I don't feel safe doing. And he's very understanding. But like it sucks. Like that sucks. That kind of de-escalating, it's not easy. I'm not happy about it.
Yeah.
It's just changing the whole interaction that you guys have for a little bit.
I mean, it's not everything, but it's to an extent, like it's a, not as extreme as the example of like, I can't tie at all right now and that's all we do together. But like, which is also, even thinking about that, so sad. Like, just altering, because kink is such a connective activity.
Exactly. So and I think that leads further into what de-escalation really is, is that it is presenting information that will change the dynamics.
Yeah, shift it, yeah.
And that shifting is usually when we're saying de-escalation into something that is less either connective, less involved, or less intimate. Like, it's saying that we've reached a point that we might need to bring it back some. And again, bringing it back may be temporary. Right. It may be permanent. It may be brought all the way back to the state that it was in the beginning, or it may just take like a temporary step back.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it is also worth it sometimes for established pairs or kinksters who have negotiated to just like pretend like they've never met and renegotiate, because, you know, like even in an established, I mean, if you're in an established relationship for a long time, and you know your partner really well and they know you really well, like it might not occur to you that like things have changed for this person over the years. I don't mean like pretending you've never met, but
God, like, who are you?
It's a pleasure to meet you.
How did you get on my dick?
But like the renegotiation can just be like, the end result, by the way, can mean that nothing changes. It can mean like, oh, we really are still on the same page. But it could also mean like, oh, it sounds like actually you want a lot more. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know you wanted that much more. And like, cool, let's do more.
You might call this a check-in.
Check-in. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be called the renegotiation.
Right. Yes,
but
it doesn't
like,
have to be a formal.
But I personally think check-ins in a relationship are hot.
Like, I think they're hot too.
Tell me where we stand.
Yeah. Yes.
Tell me where I'm at.
Yeah.
Ooh, yes.
Like, are you
this
liking
is where
this?
You...
Do you want more?
Ooh, you. Oh gosh. Tell me.
More,
yes.
Tell me more.
In.
No, San Diego. Hey, it's your boy Danny Zuko.
Oh my God.
So, are we moving to the?
Well, something I really want to talk about is this opt-in, opt-out.
Yes.
Are you happy about that?
Yes. Because, okay.
It was a great transition.
It's a shitty transition, but thank you, Denzel.
Oh, come on.
That.
No, you didn't like the John Travolta?
No, that was a great transition. Me saying, I want to talk about this now, not a great transition. But yeah, I mean, like, in some kink communities, there's this idea that you have to opt out of a sexual act, so saying no.
And this is a form of consent, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah, we're talking about consent now. So there's an idea in some kink communities that in order to give consent, you say no to an act rather than saying yes to an act.
Right.
You know, like there was this idea years ago, like advertising that targeted cis women that said, just say no.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was a shift in our like societal ethos that was like, actually, we should be encouraging people to give an enthusiastic yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we told primarily cis men, because again, this is how this was targeted.
Right.
We told them, unless you're receiving an enthusiastic yes, don't consider it a yes.
Correct.
And I'm much more in that camp. Like, unless unless you're getting enthusiastic yes, because that's, again, that's part of the FRIES acronym.
The freely
given,
easily
reversible.
Okay.
Informed, enthusiastic.
And specific.
So, like, that's part of the consent FRIES acronym. But, like, there are communities within the kink community that believe that you can just start a sex act with someone, and unless they say no, that's them giving consent.
Well, there's also dynamics. There's dynamics that might have that. And, like, the reason I mentioned dynamics because I think Vahafta last season talked about there's an opt-in, opt-out situation where they had a disconnection.
Her relationship with her partner was negotiated.
No. So, what I'm trying to say is like for her, she's like, okay, I'm ready for the thing. And he's like, well, you got to tell me you're ready for the thing. That's like opt-in versus opt-out in a different light.
I think that's a little different because that's more like, like readiness to do something.
I see. But negotiate, I mean, consent is still
what are y'all's thoughts on opt-in versus opt-out consent?
I'm thinking of like, it's one of those things that if like you came to, if you come to a pool, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, or maybe not even a pool. Like if you come to a basketball gym during pickup play,
mm-hmm.
If you're in the gym and I look at you and I say, you're on my team, mm-hmm. you want to play. I'm assuming that since you're here, you're opting in.
So what you're saying is it's environment specific.
For me, I would lean a lot more readily to the environment. Like, right. What are the conditions of this?
But what if you are a kinkster who doesn't, so you've entered into a kink sphere that's an opt-out situation. You're not, like, aware of that. I guess it's on you, but I don't know. That
I think at the end of the day,
squishy to me.
I think at the end of the day, it is always on you
to know where you're
to
at.
To know, to be able to feel confident in that right. No. Like,
yeah, I feel like I'm torn because it feels so squishy to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the kink environment that we're all talking about, where there's an opt out situation where you have to say no,
mm-hmm.
I think it takes. I think you're right that if you've entered that environment, hopefully you have some prior knowledge that that's the situation that someone maybe that the host of that place gave you that information. Hopefully that right. happened. I think I'm just a little nervous for the people who like don't have that information and don't feel like they have the agency to say no or
mm-hmm.
it just feels very squishy.
Well, and that's the thing is like, I don't know. My thing always is like, if you are putting yourself, like, could you take yourself out? If
yeah.
Yeah.
If I believe that there is not a way out that you feel safe
right.
and also that you don't feel pressured to like have to stay in right. because you're going to become like the social outcast.
Right.
Like something my parents have always told me is like, always find a way of escape.
Mm.
Like before you enter any place, mm. always have a way of escape.
Know where the
I don't know if that's yeah. something that can be applicable
I
to
wonder
King.
Though, that feels a bit like a... That comes from a place of trauma, of needing to always know.
Oh, I'm a black man in America.
I know. Right. I mean, so what I'm yeah. saying, though, is like...
You ain't wrong.
It's like quite sad that that you need to always know where your exits are.
Well, true, but I think it's also because the world is just fucking unpredictable.
That's well, it's also a different conversation. Because I also say, like, there's certain tropes, like, depending on the person you are and what things you've gone through, it's like mm-hmm. always back in, never pull into a parking right. spot. Make sure that you always sit with your front facing the door and your back not to
yeah,
the door.
Yeah,
there's a whole bunch of categories.
I totally hear that. And I also like don't want to remove someone's agency by saying that they can't get themselves out.
Right.
I think people are pretty capable generally. Just kink is this delicate space where mm-hmm. if you've gone through your whole kink life thinking that it's an opt-in situation, I guess maybe what I'm saying is like I personally don't like opt-out situations, not because I can't opt out. I'm very, very aware of what my boundaries are,
right.
but because it doesn't feel affirming of my enthusiastic consent. Like I want you to want that from me. I want whoever is approaching me to be like, I want to do this with you. Do you really want to do this with me?
Uh-huh.
Like well, I want that. I want you to want that.
I understand the like so to be the fence sitter here. I understand what you're saying on that side, Mingo, but I have to like jump the fence to Denzel's side mainly because the environment. Doesn't
I don't
matter.
Think we're on different sides, by the way. I think like
well, no, sorry, opt-in versus.
Ah, I'm against you.
Oh, okay. Sorry. There's a slight divergence, a very slight, small divergence.
I mean, sure. like I also but, very much see what Denzel is saying. Like,
but the reason I was going to say the environment probably takes precedent to some degree for me from my perspective specifically yeah. is that if I go to church. And they say, if I go to church and say, you know, especially like a southern black church, and they say, you know, talk to your neighbor, hug your neighbor, something like that, then mm-hmm. I'm expecting, okay, somebody's going to approach me and try to hug me or something.
Right.
And like, that's, I would rather them ask me first, but I'm at a black church. Like, there's like a different
I really agree. To a large extent, I agree with this environment specific thing. I think I just, mm-hmm. I get nervous.
That's fair.
And I think that is absolutely because... It what it boils down to is that the environment creates the culture.
Right.
So we enter these spaces and we enter a culture of opt out.
Opt out. Yeah.
But even within the culture, there's still the individualized experience of saying, like, even though I'm in a culture of opt out, I still practice opt in within it. The same way that we live in a culture and we often practice different things than what the culture is created by our environment.
Facts.
Yeah, I do also want to say for our listeners, like, in my opinion, the majority of kink spaces are opt-in consent-based.
Yes. Yeah.
We're talking about a very niche group of kinksters who practice opt-out.
Or the kink spaces you're going to find me in.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, because again, I think as we wrap up here, like, this whole episode has been about negotiations.
Right.
Negotiations occur between one or more individuals who are coming together for a specific scene, and they're creating an individualized experience for themselves. Whereas if you're just showing up at the party, you're like, okay, well, I'm here to be queer and do all the things.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think, like, negotiation is how you can shift from an opt-out culture to an opt-in.
I love that. Yeah.
And that is why negotiations in all forms, it's incidents, it's de-escalation, it's form of renegotiation. All the Asians of knees.
So important.
What was that? What was that sentence?
On that note, to our listeners, if you have thoughts about negotiations or you think we didn't talk about something, please let us know or just reach out generally. You can find us on Instagram at Taking in the Scene Podcast, on Gmail at takinginthescenepodcast@gmail.com, and on FetLife at Taking in the Scene. Mm-hmm. Denzel, can you take us out?
Always remember that the raindrop falls into open mouths.